The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 104th edition of Dave's Gone By. 57 minutes of comedy, music, talk radio, and wonderfulness coming to you from the Freeport Tower of the Babylon Studio of the radio station WGBB, AM 1240 in Freeport, New York. Also live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. And there may be another place pretty soon where you'll be able to hear this program, but I can't divulge the details yet. Looks like sometime in late January or February I'll announce the details anon. So this way folks who can't listen Thursday evenings at 7 might get another chance to catch the show at another time, which is always good. You can't get too much Dave. That's what I always say. Of course, I'm biased because I am Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist. And this show tosses all that stuff into a shredding machine and comes out with whatever the hell this show is. Smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. For example, tonight, all four bases covered. Not sure what they're covered with. Probably a fine layer of sediment. No, I'm not a sentimental man, but you know, tonight I'm going to talk about my recent trip to Washington, D.C. It was already a couple of weeks after the elections, so the wounds were starting to heal. It was just a lovely weekend with some amusing anecdotes to recount, so you'll hear those in the Dave Goes Off segment. And we have the return of one of the show's most popular and long-running segments, The News Gone By. That's where we look at news and current events from a sentimentally ill perspective. We also have Inside Broadway, a look at what's happening in New York theater, brought to you by Total Theater and their magazine, Performing Arts Insider. Tonight on Inside Broadway, it's the return of Stephen Sondheim's Pacific Overtures to Broadway and Billy Crystal arriving with a one-man show. And what else do we have on this one-man show tonight? Well, two men, actually. This is pretty exciting. One of the guests I've had on before, during Gay Pride Week, during the whole Jim McGreevy scandal in New Jersey. His name is Peter Fitzgerald, and he's openly gay. He's kind of our token gay guest here. As we like to be open to all things and egalitarian, and he's doing a special segment tonight on the occasion that Harvey Fierstein, that fine actor, is coming back to Broadway in January. And he's not doing Torch Song Trilogy. He's not coming back to Hairspray. He's not even in the revival of La Cage aux Folles, the musical he wrote with Jerry Herman. No, Harvey Fierstein has been tapped to replace Alfred Molina in the current Broadway revival of Fiddler on the Roof. If you think I'm joking, go look at the Sunday Times. You'll see the ad. There he is, beckoning towards the heavens, or the ghost of Gay Tevye's past. There must have been a few. It would have been amazing to see, like, the Paul Lind Tevye. Oh, why tonight, God? Why did the Russians ruin a perfectly good wedding? They smashed all the Limoges. You know, and what could be next? Like, the Rip Taylor Tevye. Oh, Mel just got a new sewing machine, and I can't wait to use it on my gown. Hey! No, but this is a serious thing. Harvey Fierstein is a really good actor, and it's going to be interesting to see him tackle Tevye the Milkman. But Peter Fitzgerald is going to ask him about this incredible change of pace, and maybe even demonstrate what a Harvey Fierstein fiddler will sound like. Oh, it's going to be a fabulous night on Dave's Gone By, brought to you by Total Theater, sponsored by Hewlett Minuteman Press, copying and printing and personalized cards with a personal touch. Hewlett Minuteman. Their banner is on the website, davesgoneby.com. Give it a click and see what magical things they can do for your business at a very reasonable price. And speaking of reasonable, you know, George Bush has 4 more years now. Colin Powell may be stepping down, but his idiot kid, Michael Powell, is still running the FCC. So I ask you, the listener, to deal reasonably with what we do on this program. Most of the content is fine for everybody, Some of it is rated DGB-13. That's the days gone by equivalent of the movie's PG-13. If you don't like what you hear, change the station. If you do like what you hear, tell your friends. And if you're not sure what you will or won't like until you've actually heard it, by which time it's too late to change the station because you've already heard it, and once you've heard it, you can't unhear it, well, if it's any consolation, that's how I feel every time I hear a Christmas song on the radio. I deal with it, so can you. And if you can deal with 60 seconds of commercials, you'll be rewarded with Inside Broadway right after this.
These are the Daves, my friend, the perfect radio blend of comedy, talk, radio, and more. Yes, these are the Daves. More than 60 complete episodes of Daves Gone By, all on compact disc for your listening pleasure. Got a long drive home? Pop in a Dave. In the mood for a funny sketch or a fun interview, pop in a Dave. All CDs come in jewel cases with covers and photos and track listings, just $14 per CD, and that includes shipping and handling. Throw in another dollar, and I'll personally autograph the cover. If you're not sure which show to pick, just visit the Dave's Gone By website or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. Audio cassettes are available, too, so start your collection today. These are the Daves, my friend. Makes a great gift to send. Give them a try if you love Daves Gone By. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
The way Broadway is these days, you have better luck getting audiences and critics to support an old show getting a second chance rather than a new one, even if the creators are the best in the business. After years of trying, Stephen Sondheim couldn't get his new show, Bounce, on Broadway last season. Meanwhile, at the same time, his older off-Broadway show, Assassins, came to Broadway and won the Tony. And Sondheim did okay with a Lincoln Center revival of The Frogs, too. So now, another somewhat lesser-known Sondheim tuner comes back to New York. Pacific Overtures, one of his most ambitious works, and for Sondheim, of course, that's saying something. B.D. Wong, you remember him from M. Butterfly, and he has a featured role on Law and Order these days. He stars in the new revival of Pacific Overtures, opening tonight, December 2nd. It's a roundabout theater production, and it's playing at Studio 54, yet the old renovated disco hall that served as home for the roundabout's astonishing production of Cabaret just a couple years back. Anyway, Pacific Overtures starts off in the mid-1800s with an American naval officer, Commodore Matthew Perry, steaming towards the shores of Japan. Commodore Perry is on orders from President Millard Fillmore. Bet you never thought Fillmore did anything, right? Perry's orders are to start a dialogue going with Japan and open those all-important trade routes. The shogun is torn, of course, because his country has thrived in isolation. At the same time, Perry has threatened to shell the coastline if he isn't welcomed as a delegate. There's internal intrigue and murder and eventually negotiation, with typical Sondheim ambivalence about what's gained and what's lost when any great change is made. And leave it to Sondheim and librettist John Weidman to write a musical about two countries mapping out trade agreements. But hey, what else would you expect from a fella who's done Broadway tuners about pointillist painters, frogs in swimming pools, and killer barbers? And there's another twist to Pacific Overtures. The entire cast is Asian, even the Americans, because the concept is that we're watching a musical put on by the Japanese about Americans westernizing Japan. Now, the original production was directed by the great Harold Prince, but the new one, at the roundabout, is staged, appropriately enough, by a Japanese director, Amon Miyamoto. And it'll be interesting to see the new staging, literally, since the 1976 mounting won Tonys for its sets and costumes. Audiences should be cautioned that Pacific Overtures is one of Sondheim's most spiky and demanding scores. There are catchy numbers, like Someone in a Tree or Pretty Lady, but also a lot of fragmentist music that's Japanese in tone and not likely to leave Asians or Americans whistling. But of course, you could say the same about a lot of Sunday in the Park with George, and time has certainly shown that one to be worthy of the pantheon of musical theater. Now here's a snippet of Pacific Overtures that I like a lot. It's early in the show when Kayama, a low-level samurai, is promoted to the dangerous position of being the first to greet the foreigners. Two observers look on as he tries to explain the situation to his wife in There Is No Other Way.
The word falls, the heart cries, the heart knows the worst disguise.
I shall expect you then at evening. Is there no other way?
Pacific Overtures, the original cast, There Is No Other Way. And there is no other way to get so much information so clearly, so concisely, and so entertainingly about Broadway theater than Performing Arts Insider magazine. Page after page of comprehensive listings about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, off-off-Broadway, dance, opera, special events. It's all in the pages of PAI. What shows are coming to Broadway in the spring? Check PAI. What shows are appropriate for children and families over the holidays? Check PAI. And what are your favorite theater companies up to all season long? Check Performing Arts Insider. 516-295-1511 is the number. For subscription information, 516-295-1511. Or email paipress@aol.com, paipress@aol.com. Single issues are just $10 by mail, postage included for Dave's Gone By listeners, or get 10% off a year's subscription if you mention the show. 516-295-1511, or visit TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. It's Broadway the best way. Returning to Inside Broadway, our weekly segment on Dave's Gone By, we move from the far east of Pacific Overtures to the east coast of 700 Sundays. That's the title of a new solo show by Billy Crystal, opening Friday night at the Broadhurst. It's an autobiographical look at Crystal's New York childhood and rise in show business, with a lot of his impressions of the characters and family who made him what he is today. I think we kind of take Billy Crystal a little for granted, because he seems so familiar and has such wide television exposure, from soap to Saturday Night Live to the Oscars to all his movies popping up on cable. The Broadway show will no doubt be a reminder of just how funny and unique Crystal is. I know he's certainly been an influence on some of the stuff I do, mostly when I do crotchety old men who say damn it a lot. Gee, I wonder what character that is. But seriously, or not seriously, Billy Crystal, on Broadway, 0700 Sundays, now through March. Tickets are selling very well, and I have to say, it looks marvelous.
We've just been inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider.
Hey, can I get this thing copied?
Yeah, dude, 15 cents a page, plus ink, labor, parts.
Parts? Yeah, I need that of heavy stock, bound and laminated.
Whoa, we don't do that.
All right, just copies then.
No problemo, take a week or two.
What? Give me my copies back.
Just a minute, man.
That's it! Minuteman! I should have gone to Hewlett Minuteman Press. They do everything. Copying, shipping, gifts, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett.
Ain't that next to Fortunoff?
Out of my way, hippie. I'm off to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Copy on, dude.
Well, hello. Peter Fitzgerald here with a Dave's Gone By special. You know, I just love the theater. When I was growing up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, I'd have gone completely bonkers if I didn't have an outlet for my special needs. That's right, I was a special needs child. Only my special needs required 3 safety pins, a tube of Vagisil, and a hairbrush. Anyway, my parents were strict Baptists. My 2 brothers were on the football team Wedgie Patrol, and I thought my older sister would understand because she's boy crazy. After all, if she was, why couldn't I be too? But no, poor Peter had to go it all alone, with no one to talk to but Irma, my goldfish, and Joe, my G.I. Joe. But then when I was 12 years old, a summer tour of the King and I came to the Kenosha Performing Arts Center and Beer Hall. I'll never forget seeing Joey Bishop play the King of Siam opposite Vivian Vance as Anna. And then later, that same summer, West Side Story, with the Osmond family as the Sharks and the Jacksons as the Jets. When I saw Tito swinging his big knife, I knew I was hooked. I begged my parents for every cast album I could get, and I saved my allowance for a subscription to the Irving and Sadie Feinberg Community Theater in Waukegan, where I saw Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, My Fair Lady, and Give 'Em Hell Harry, all starring, well, Sadie Feinberg. But the point is, I found something in musical theater that I couldn't find in school, in church, at the mall, or even at the movies. I found heaven, or more specifically, angels, usually in the shape of chorus boys and muscle shirts and tight, shiny pants. I've been a musical buff ever since, and I'm not a snob about it either. Sure, I'd love to see Patti LuPone do Follies, but I'd watch Patti LaBelle do Starlight Express. Do I have a gay sensibility? Oh, gee, is the Pope senile? Of course, I'm a flaming queen, and that influences my taste. Not to mention who I'm tasting. Wiggle, wiggle! But I follow Broadway the way a fancy boy follows a sailor into the pump room. I've seen every show at least 2, and when The Boy from Oz was playing, I begged the ushers to let me keep a futon in the lobby. Now, my all-time favorite show is La Cage, of course, and I'm so excited to see that back on Broadway. But I like the older shows, too, and I most enjoyed seeing the new Fiddler on the Roof they've got playing at the Minskoff, with that chunky little sweetie, Alfred Molina, playing Tevye. Now, let's be honest. When you first heard they were bringing back Fiddler, was Alfred Molina your choice to play an Orthodox Jewish milkman? I think not. I mean, really, was Mandy Patinkin too busy having one of his nervous breakdowns to audition? And what about Jerry Stiller? I mean, there's pictures in the Wikipedia under Angry Downtrodden Jew. But no, they went with Molina, and he's done a fine job. For a hetero. But now he's leaving the show, and taking his place as Tevye is the one and only Harvey Fierstein. Yes, the Harvey Fierstein from Torch Song Trilogy and Hairspray. Because, let's face it, when I think of an impoverished Russian husband with 5 unmarried daughters, I think man who dresses in drag and has butt sex. But what can I say? I think the producers of Fiddler on the Roof are so, so brave for casting Harvey Fierstein in their little revival. I can't wait to see it. Actually, I have to wait to see it. He doesn't start until January. But we can get a little preview, or pre-jew, because Harvey is here with me in the studio for an exclusive one-on-one. Woo! Welcome, Harvey, and tell me, how did you go from the barricades of Stonewall to the little village of Anatemka?
Oh, Peter, I love your name, and I thank you for having me.
I wish.
Well, I think I proved everything I needed to prove as a gay performer. I did torch song, I've done drag, I've done regular cabaret, and then a big Broadway musical like Hairspray.
And might I say you were divine? Oh, little pun there.
Oh, that's very good, Peter. Yes, I was playing the divine role, of course. But I did it my way, the Harvey way, as the song goes in La Cage aux Folles.
Which you wrote.
Yes, which I wrote with a great Jerry Herman. I am what I am.
Isn't that Popeye?
No, he's I am what I am. It's a yam reference.
Like Karen Finley.
Well, if Karen Finley were a gay man, yes.
Are you saying Popeye's gay? I thought his yam was dipped in olive oil, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, Popeye totally swung both ways. Why do you think he ate entire cans of spinach in one gulp? Practice.
Oh, my. Hose me down.
My hose is ready.
Stop that. For now. Say, have they picked a Golda yet?
Well, we did have casting offers out to Mario Cantone and Sherman Hemsley, but so far nothing definite. We are hoping to get the five Queer Eye guys to be the dancing Russians.
Oh, still my beating heart.
Yes, they've already given us amazing advice on changing the costumes and decor.
So, Tevye no longer wears peasant garments?
Ah, no. Who wants to see rags when you're paying $100 a ticket? He won't be an Armani, but Jesus, he can still dress with a little flair.
He still has to wear the beanie, though, right?
Only in the Sabbath scene. The rest of the time, he wears this darling sailor's cap. And his talus has a big rainbow Star of David.
Oh, will those be available in the gift shop?
Absolutely. Along with a full set of Shabbos candles, designed by Isaac Mizrahi, and programmed to vibrate as soon as the sun goes down.
Or the daughter goes down, depending on your preference. Wiggle, wiggle! But seriously, Harvey, Fiddler on the Roof, of all shows.
Look, Peter, I'm middle-aged, I'm Jewish, I'm known from impression and disappointment.
And ointment?
And I've proved I can go on a Broadway stage and be a musical theater star.
But Harvey, those songs, Sunrise Sunset, Tradition, To Life with Chaim,
Tonight.
With all due respect, your singing voice isn't so much Mandy Patinkin as Luba Potemkin.
Look, Tevye is not an opera singer. He's a horsewhipped Jew in his fettle, pushing his milk cart through dirt and dust and snow. Why expect him to sing like Curly in Oklahoma?
But you sing more like Curly in The Three Stooges.
Well, Peter, what can I say? Isn't the idea to leave them wanting more?
Oh, you punster, you. But seriously, are you going to be changing anything or reworking Fiddler to fit your image?
Oh, yes. Tevye just wouldn't be me if I didn't make him my own special creation. That's why some of the song lyrics are going to change, specifically to reflect Tevye's ambiguous sexuality.
Ambiguous? He had five brats with Golda. I don't see anything ambiguous about that.
Oh, bunnies. He's been married to that shrew for 25 years. He supposes he loves her. What does that mean? I suppose he loves Laser the Butcher a lot more, if you get my drift.
I see your drift, and you can plow again to me. Wiggle, wiggle!
And the songs in the show, those wonderful songs. They need to express the gay side of Tevye, the fagula on the roof, if you will.
Would you give us a sample?
Would I? Would I?
Hairlip, hairlip.
I would be so thrilled. For example, the show still opens with Tradition. Only here, the boys prepare to do the housekeeping and marry each other, while the girls sit home and study Torah.
Very post-Yentl.
Oh, it's a total homage to Barbara and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, what about Sunrise Sunset? Such a gorgeous ballad.
Yes, we changed the lyrics on that one. Now it goes, is this the little boy I married, spreading his buttocks when we play? I still remember when he told me he was gay. Some guys I've met, quickly try their ears. Semen in puddles on the mattress, smelling like happiness and queers. See, it's to the slight chicken tone.
I see that. Any other examples?
If I were a straight man, boogie, oogie, oogie, boogie, woogie, oogie, oogie, ooh. All day long I'd rule the freaking world if I were a breeding man. I wouldn't have to jerk hard. Oogie, 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 well, you get the idea. And sometimes we don't change the lyrics, just the emphasis. Like in Tonight. And if good fortune never comes, here's to whatever comes. You see, it's subtle.
Ooh, I'll take 2 quarts of that milk, Tevye.
Well, you can biddy-biddy my bum anytime, Peter.
Wiggle, wiggle! Do the Jews still leave Anatevka at the end?
Oh, yes. It's very sad. The Russians give them that terrible pogrom, which in this version contains explicit scenes of gay sodomy. And then, at the finale, all the Jews must leave their homeland. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a pot, a pan, a broom, a hat, a stick of wood, a piece of cloth. These are the things found in my ash.
Well, I am so looking forward to seeing you in Fiddler. It sounds just fabulous.
Oh, it will be. Get ready, Broadway. It's time for Fiddler on the Poof.
On the Great White Gay. Well, this is Peter Fitzgerald reminding everyone to catch the beloved Harvey Fierstein, the biggest thing on Broadway.
Oh, keep spreading that rumor.
Can I spread something else?
Oh, sing it, Peter. Do you love me?
Do I what?
I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong? Do you love me?
Do I love you? Yes. After 25 rears, it's
nice to blow.
Hey, baby. For a good time, don't call me. Read Dave Lefkowitz's book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. It's got all these funny comedies in it. They make you laugh. They make you think. They make you, ooh, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. If you like Dave on the air, you'll love him between the covers. Dave goes off.
Dave goes off indeed, off on a topic, off on a rant, off on a stream of thought that's on the mind and that I want to share. I wanted to talk about my recent trip to Washington, D.C., just a weekend getaway that was quite fun, and have a couple of cute anecdotes about. But before that, I do have to pay a little homage, a little fond tribute, because the king is gone. Long live the king. Ken Jennings, the winningest contestant in the history of game shows, lost on Tuesday. I'm so sad. After 74 consecutive appearances on Jeopardy and a record $2.5 million booty, Ken got booted fair and square by real estate agent Nancy Zurg. She got the final Jeopardy answer right, while Ken guessed wrong. It was a question about a company where most employees work only 4 months a year. Ken figured it was a holiday delivery thing and went with FedEx. Nancy Zurg was less taxed by the question and answered correctly H&R Block. Now, this isn't really new news. Since Jeopardy is taped so far in advance, internet reports let out the secret that Ken got canned months ago. But it's still a shock, after all this time, to see someone new on that far-left podium.
Deep in his bank account, he's put $1 million. Some call it genius, while others call it luck. He looks like something that fell off a turnip truck. Everybody sing, hey, Jeopardy can do it again. Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can. What did you win, Jeopardy can? He comes from Utah, and his brother picks his ties. Oh, look, he won again. Surprise, surprise, surprise. He's such a marvel, he's the devil in disguise. All the Mormons sing, hey, Jeopardy can do it again. Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can. What did you win, Jeopardy can? He's just as smug as a computer geek can be. All the suspense is gone by Final Jeopardy. But no one else can run the board on Potpourri. Alex Trebek sings, hey, Jeopardy can do it again. Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can. What did you win, Jeopardy can? Hey, Jeopardy can do it again. Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can. What did you win, Jeopardy can? Special fondness for Ken for a bunch of reasons. First and foremost, he inspired me to write the song Jeopardy Can, which not only got a good response here, but made it into the playlist of the Dr. Demento Show, a lifetime dream come true. But apart from that, Ken Jennings made Jeopardy exciting again. Although a lot of people said it was boring because he kept winning all the time and the games weren't even close. I mean, even before Final Jeopardy, he'd have $40,000 and the other two people combined didn't have $20,000. But he was hypnotic. He was comforting to watch because we knew that each time, question by question, he'd build this insurmountable lead as if it were the most natural thing on earth, as if anybody could do it if they just happened to be as smart as he is. It got to the point where he would be asked a question, and he'd get a pained, quizzical, unsure look on his face, and take a guess. And 9 times out of 10, he would guess right. So is Jeopardy Ken the quintessential nerd made good? You betcha. Wife and kid, nice quiet life, working man. The Mormon stuff I could live without, but he doesn't proselytize. Considering all the publicity he's been getting, he could very easily use his platform as a stumping ground for Latter-day Sainthood, but he hasn't. He's made some goofy jokes and looked a little too cocky now and then, but hey, the guy was having fun. Playing Jeopardy was as natural to him as fly fishing is to a master sportsman, or arguing a mock trial brief is to a veteran attorney. It's what Ken did well. As a matter of fact, if I were a TV network, I'd be knocking on Ken's door right now, trying to set him up either as a game show host, or, better yet, something like the next Win Ben Stein's Money. You know, go up against Ken Jennings in a quiz-style format, and anybody who wins automatically gets $1 million because they deserve it. And that's another thing. Ken Jennings had to appear on Jeopardy 74 times to win $2.5 million. By comparison, Kevin Olmsted, the previous all-time winner of Game Show Money, won $2 million playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Now, how many episodes did that guy have to appear in to do that? 3? How many total questions did he have to get right? 26? Ken had to answer more than 2,600. Now, I'm not belittling Olmsted's achievement,
Jeopardy was Ken Jennings' part-time job for half a year, and I'm going to miss him. During that whole saga, didn't it suck when you tuned in to see Ken, and they had, like, College Jeopardy or Tournament of Champions or Schnauzers versus Dobermans? And that's going to be Jeopardy's challenge now, to hang on to the big audience boost they got from Ken when he's just plain old everyday winners who win 3-4 rounds and then get knocked off by blowing a daily double. Jeopardy Ken did it all with smarts, humility, affability, and of course, howdy doody charm. And so, I sing the new crowning verse to my world-famous ditty, Jeopardy Ken, to finish the final wager. Hey, Jeopardy Ken, you didn't win, Jeopardy Ken. Hey, Jeopardy Ken, you were done in, Jeopardy Ken. You were the paragon of quiz show flawlessness, but then you reached a block with Federal Express. But to the question, will we miss you? The answer is yes. Everybody sing, hey, Jeopardy Ken, leader of men, Jeopardy Ken. Hey, Jeopardy Ken, I'll be there when you rise again. You the man, Ken Jennings, you the man, and congratulations. Okay, on to the other topic I wanted to yak about in this Dave Goes Off segment. I wanted to talk about my trip to Washington, D.C. about 3 weeks ago. It was a really, really delightful journey there. My wife had a conference that she was going to. And so we didn't stay at the conference hotel. We wanted to find another place. And, of course, we did a Priceline thingy, or was it Orbitz or Expedia or one of the three, and did very well. It was nice. They came through with the Churchill Hotel for an extremely reasonable rate. We get there, and the place, it's one of those hotels that's more for dignitaries and visitors. Not extra fancy or anything like that, but quiet and a little plush and a little stuffy, but in a good way. And we get there, we check in, and I notice it's real quiet. There doesn't seem to be anyone much around except the guy at the front desk. And amazingly enough, he tells us, and I don't think he was lying, that D.C. was pretty much full that week because of all the conventions going on, and the hotel was full. But you wouldn't know it. We get up to the room, and he said, don't mind the little table in your hotel room. Turns out that it's two rooms, and one of them is a conference room with this giant conference table and leather chairs. And I was like, yeah, I don't mind it at all. Didn't really use it, but it was kind of neat to see. And not much of a view, because, again, the hotel was full, but certainly, corner room, quiet, off the beaten path. I ended up sleeping for hours the first day we got there, just because I'd been so exhausted. So, not a commercial or advertisement or anything like that, but really cool hotel, the Churchill, and helpful staff. And I wanted to mention that something that they do is they put out in the morning a typewritten daily guide to activities going on in the area. And it isn't just that they hand you the local Ware magazine or, you just ask the concierge. There's actually typed out, hour by hour, all the stuff that you can do. The museums, the special galleries, the neighborhoods that are having cool events. I think hotels and motels should do this all over the country. It's a really wonderful idea. Another thing I wanted to mention that is coming to Washington, D.C. that we passed, something called a museum of news and journalism. It's pretty neat. I think they're going to finish it. Supposedly, they were supposed to be putting the finishing touches on it this year. Ain't going to happen, obviously. Probably later in next. And the nice thing that they have is towards, through the underpass of where the museum is while they're doing construction, they have blown up giant-size front pages of newspapers from all over the world, most of them English language. And so you can see, and from all over America as well, just front pages of the San Francisco Chronicle and the Daily News and the Chicago Tribune. I mean, one after the other, all next to each other, blown up big. They do it every morning. It isn't just that they do it once so you can see. They update them every day. And I know you can do that on the internet and go from URL to URL and check. But it's a really neat way to see
what's being covered, what certain parts of the country think is important, what other countries are reporting on about us and about themselves. Really neat idea, and I know that's going to be a permanent exhibit at the museum. Finally, the only bad thing that happened on the trip to D.C. was I got a bit of a personal shock, in a way. We had gone to the Ford Theater, of course, the place where Abraham Lincoln was shot. No, I was not shot there. In fact, they were renovating or doing something and wouldn't let us into the theater, but you could go to the little basement museum and see just some exhibits and, like, Lincoln's coat, which was kind of creepy. And they also had, against the back wall, it's really more for kids, like a giant pencil outline on the wall of Lincoln's height, because, you know, he was a tall man, with inches going up the wall to see how tall he was and how tall you are in comparison. So you stand against the wall and you can be measured. Well, I always assumed, I always figured that I was in the 5'4" range. I seem to remember a doctor weighing and measuring me and telling me that, and going with that all my life. Except I stood up against Abraham Lincoln and realized I'd been giving myself 2 extra inches, and yes, they're in the height place, not the other place, all this time. So I was really kind of sad about that. I realized, my God, I'm not even 5'4". I'm a kind of a little guy. So, you know, I guess that's why, again, I kind of have a voice and physique made for radio. But I'm here, all 5'2" of me, and we'll continue with more of Dave's Gone By right after this. On Friday nights, I listen to Bonnie D. Graham. On GBB at 6 o'clock, that's where I am. She talks to people about romance and l'amour, and how to pick up guys without being a whore. Then Saturdays, tune in for fun at 5:30. Mikey and Jimmy doing crazy comedy. At 7:30, Mr. Redman's music show is where the hot new rock and roll musicians go. And if you're sick, well, you'll start feeling a lot weller. On Wednesday nights, if you tune in to Joyce Keller, she is a psychic who gives live call-in advice. She's entertaining and she's very, very nice. She's a beautiful radio star. A.M. is where we are. Dave's Gone By on Thursday nights. Music and jokes with satirical bites. Also on Thursdays, if you're looking for some fun, at 6 o'clock, tune in to Larry David's Son. And after Dave, you'll hear the best in modern jazz. At 8 p.m., that's just what Mike Shemeri has. And don't forget, on Sunday nights, it's Joe Saldone. For right-wing politics, he's really quite well-known. He's on at 7 with his own take on the news. And just like Dave, he does a bunch of interviews. GDB is a radio star. And that's where we fill her up Thursdays at 9. It's an hour of Dave at a different time. TV is the radio star. TV is the radio star. TV is the radio star.
Wake up the global stars!
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's time for the news gone by, a look at world and local events of the past week from a jeopardized perspective. On the national front, Homeland Security Officer Tom Ridge resigned this week, becoming the 7th cabinet member to leave office since George Bush was reelected in November. Ridge is best known for his color-coded alerts and his suggestion that Americans use plastic wrap and duct tape to protect themselves against bioterrorism. On his departure, Ridge turned in his badge and waved to his staff, and then broke into a giggling fit saying, "I can't believe they bought it. The tape, the orange, the blue, the yellow, the disaster kits made by Ridgeco. Damn, I'm good." In science news, insect hunters in Saudi Arabia have been trying to catch locusts in the belief that eating them helps cure diabetes. Diabetes is very prevalent in the Arab world, as are locusts. So these hunters believe that if millions of Arabs could eat zillions of locusts, it stops 2 plagues with one idea. Only scientists say the cure is a myth. Locusts don't do a thing for diabetes, and if the bugs have been sprayed with pesticide, they're actually poisonous
and could wind up killing millions across the Arab world. So, it's important to get this message out and warn Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Syria and Iran that eating locusts is delicious. Yum, yum. Have another helping, guys. Speaking of edibles, here's a chocoholics alert from Germany. In the eastern city of Halle, 8 artists have created a 19th-century-style living room made entirely of marzipan and chocolate. 1,800 pounds of chocolate were used to create the room and its decor, including paneling, vases, cutlery, and pictures on the wall. At first, the amazed visitors were even allowed to eat some of the furniture. This was halted, though, after one guest complimented the artists, who said, "Wow, I love that delicious dark chocolate molding around the toilet," to which the artist replied, "What molding?" Actually, the guest was okay, until he realized he was also mistaken about the fresh lemonade in the urinal. In economic news, to protest the government's rising debt, the entire country of Italy went on strike on Tuesday, with tens of thousands of workers marching through the streets of Milan, Rome, and Venice. The marches were quickly canceled, however, when the Italians realized they had no one to surrender to. Switching to the Allies, merry old England, where Princess Anne unveiled a new memorial in Park Lane yesterday. The statue was to honor some extremely unusual war heroes in British history. Animals and insects. That's right. Bears and monkeys, which were often kept as mascots by soldiers, they'll be honored by the statue, as will glowworms. Yes, British soldiers used them to read maps when they were in trenches during World War I. And this is not the first time English critters and pets were honored for their service during wartime. In 1943, Rob the Parrot Dog won the Dickin Medal for Animal Bravery for making more than 20 parachute jumps behind Nazi lines in World War II. And the Reuters story about the memorial also mentions Ricky, a dog who, quote, I'm not quoting the dog, I'm quoting the story, this brave dog, quote, continued to work cleaning landmines in Holland despite severe head injuries. I think the word they meant was because of severe head injuries. Cute story from Ohio, where 78-year-old Gene Suki has cashed in a portion of his life savings, $14,075.50, all of it in pennies. Suki has been collecting pennies for 34 years, and over that time, he's amassed 1.4 million of them, 10,000 pounds worth of little copper Lincolns. According to USA Today, Suki's savings began back when he had a paper route in 1939. He bought himself a $45 Schwinn bicycle, top of the line back then, all from pennies. In 1970, he cashed in 40,000 pennies, $400, to pay for his daughter's wedding, and he started fresh with an empty cigar box. Okay, he was a little bit obsessive. He had 600 boxes of 50-cent rolls in his basement, and he would mark the contents and the date of each roll in a loose leaf binder. He told USA Today, quote, "Sometimes I'd go 2 or 3 weeks without touching a penny, but then I'd roll for 2 or 3 hours. It was very relaxing." Finally, when he realized it was time to cash in the stash, he learned it's not so easy to get rid of pennies. One bank wouldn't take them. The grocery stores had a limit on redemptions. Finally, he called the Coinstar company, which set up 2 special machines just for him. And there was a funny line at the end of the newspaper story about this. They asked, what was next for Gene Suki now that his penny collection has been liquidated? They say, no joke. They say that he now may finally have time to index his pencil collection. So I asked Gene Suki a while ago, wouldn't it be easier to be like a lot of restaurants and stores that round the bill up or down to the nearest nickel? He replied, no pennies. I would never do that. It makes no sense. Yes, yes, ka-ching, ka-ching, it's the sound of the comedy bell, signaling the day's gone by. Bad pun of the week, brought to you in Saint Surround by the Dave's Gone By radio show. Every week, we make a play on words so miserly, so penny dreadful, that you'll be hitting the coin return before the joke is even over. And we celebrate this fact with a ringing of the comedy bell. which is a great way to associate your product, business, or service with the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. When we ring that bell, we can mention you in the same breath as the bad breath we made the joke with. Ding, ding, lousy joke, your product. Ding, ding, crappy one-liner, your business. Ding, ding, witless witticism, your service. Call 516-295-1511 to advertise on Dave's Gone By. The rates are very cheap and worth every penny. 516-295-1511. You can also email davesgoneby@aol.com and we will send you all the information. You can even see the penny-pinching rate card at davesgoneby.com. It's money in the bank when you sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good, be ponderful. Returning to the news gone by, you know, if this next story weren't from Reuters, I'd swear Michael Moore made it up. To raise money for a school project, a small Texas town is holding a raffle. The winner gets two 22 caliber rifles, both of which were donated by the local Republican congresswoman. Surprise! The chief of staff working for the congresswoman said, quote, "In this part of the state, a bake sale just doesn't do the trick, and this rifle will go toward protecting our children," unquote. Turns out that the money raised in the raffle is to build a fence around the school to protect it from a local sexual predator. Gee, now what are the odds that the winner of the Hannah Springs Intermediate School raffle is Sexual Predator Man? Hey, congratulations. Can he hold his penis and a gun at the same time? Ask the kids. In local news, an unidentified man jumped to his death from the 86th floor of the Empire State Building last Friday. No word on why, though speculation is he was delusional and thought he was an NYU student. And that's the news gone by for December 2nd, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and raffle rifles to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. The address is on the website, davesgoneby.com, but if you want to scribble it now, it's Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You can also email me at davesgoneby@aol.com, D-A-V-E-S, goneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read your letter on the air, name withheld upon request. It is always a joy when I get feedback on the show. Well, positive feedback, but any feedback lets me know you're out there listening, laughing, hopefully, and having a good time. So please write to me. Send letters, send gifts, send packages, but please do not send me used empty cardboard rolls that used to hold pennies. That would be just senseless. And back after this.
And that was news. If that was news, that was very, very, very special news.
Sponsor me, Dave's Gone By. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.com or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Welcome back to this dissembling December episode of Dave's Gone By. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, you can have a copy for keeps just by sending $12. That's a holiday discount, $12 for a CD of this program. It comes with a full jewel case, track listings, a nice cover, and you get the whole show, all 60 minutes. And if you weren't crazy about this episode, that's okay. You can order any episode from the Dave's Gone By website for the same price, $12. Postage included. And as long as I'm shilling for shillings, another fine holiday gift is my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, cover-to-cover comedy, also discounted for the holidays, $18 hardcover, $10 trade paperback till the end of the year. It's all at the website, davesgoneby.com. Give it a look. And you will listen to some other good shows on WGBB throughout the week, including Joyce Keller, Radio Psychic, Wednesday nights at 11, and Fridays, it's Bonnie D. Graham hosting Long Island Staging at 6. Saturday nights, they've broken up the rock block, but you can still hear Mr. Redman and the Mikey and Jimmy show on Saturday evenings. Mikey and Jimmy have moved to 5:30, and then Mr. Redman stays put 7:30 to 9, Saturday nights on WGBB. Sunday nights, 7 p.m., it's Your World with Joe Salzone, conservative politics with an open mind and a sense of humor. And finally, Thursday nights, an hour before me, catch Larry Davidson hosting WGBB Tonight at 6. Right after me, listen to Light Jazz on Mike Shamari's Instrumental Invasion. And just leave the dial right here because I return at 9, yes, tonight at 9, I'll be back with a different show. It's called Filler Up because we fill up the hour with music. Tonight, we celebrate the birthdays of two innovative musicians who've had their share of fame, but the full scope of their work tends to go unappreciated. So we'll try to redress that light tonight on Filler Up with music by Dave Brubeck and John Cale. So thank you in advance for staying tuned. Thank you for supporting Dave's Gone By with your comments and your purchases and your listenership. Thank you to my guest Peter Fitzgerald and his guest, Harvey Fierstein. Catch The Real Harvey and Fiddler on the Roof on Broadway starting in January. And catch Peter standing outside the Oscar Wilde Bookshop on Christopher Street. You bring the handcuffs, he'll bring the Astro Glide. Thank you to my sweet and delightful wife, Joyce, who did not forsake me when she learned I was only 5'2". She realized I was down and needed a pick-me-up. So she picked me up and put me on her shoulders and carried me piggyback through Georgetown, which was embarrassing but fun. And if you had fun listening this evening, catch the next episode of Dave's Gone By, December 9th, 7 p.m. Not sure what will be on the show, of course. We'll have Inside Broadway, maybe some more items for the News Gone By, and I'm pretty sure Rabbi Saul Solomon's going to stop by with a few words about Hanukkah. So, happy holidays. Light all the candles you can handle, and don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you good night. Be all that you can make a be, and gone by.